Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Coming up on our program today, Chef Norman Van Aken offers a word on food, and our arts calendar features Deborah Margol, Deputy Director of the Miami-Dade County Department of Cultural Affairs. Next week, Miami Beach will celebrate its centennial. Originally incorporated on March 26, 1915, Miami Beach will pay tribute to its 100 years of rich past, exciting present, and promising future with their 100-hour extravaganza featuring dozens of events from March 22nd through the 26th, planned by the City of Miami Beach together with ACT Productions, the event management firm, as well as the centennial celebration will continue through October 31st with the theme, This is How We Celebrate. And for complete information, please go to MiamiBeach100.com. And with us today to help us get ready for the big celebration is the great South Florida historian and educator, Mr. Seth Bramson. Seth is Miami's foremost and leading historian, a Miami area resident since 1946. He is the country's most published Greater Florida history book author. 19 of his 24 books deal directly with the villages, towns, cities, and people of the South Florida Gold Coast. His seventh book for the History Press is his Sunshine, Stone Crabs, and Cheesecake, The Story of Miami Beach, dealing with his hometown, Miami Beach. In addition to his books, he has written and has published more than 70 articles, including three in refereed or juried publications. The senior collector of Florida East Coast Railway memorabilia, Florida transportation memorabilia, Miami memorabilia, and Floridiana in the country, referred to as the Grand Poobah of Miami memorabilia collecting, quote-unquote, by no less than a personage than a former editor of the now-defunct Miami Daily News. He is known in South Florida as Mr. Miami Memorabilia. His collection of Miami memorabilia and Floridiana is the largest such collection in private hands in America. A graduate of Cornell University's famed School of Hotel Administration, he holds master's degrees from St. Thomas University and Florida International University, both here in Miami. He is adjunct professor of history at both Barry University, where he is historian in residence, and at FIU, where he is historian in residence at the university's Osher Lifelong Learning Institute. Additionally, he is on the faculty of the Nova University Lifelong Learning Institute. He's now working on even more local histories, and longer range plans call for books on the history of Florida street and electric railways and the history of the Florida East Coast Hotel Company, one of the entities of the Flagler system. The company historian of the Florida East Coast Railway, he is one of only two people in the country who bears that official title with an American railroad. I've run out of breath here, Seth. Congratulations and welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat. We start off with Mr. Bramson. Charlie Cinnamon will join us in a moment. But Seth, take us back to the early 20th century. Tell us about some of the principal people who turned what was called Ocean Beach from a tropical jungle into quite an inhabitable resort.
Well, I'll be delighted, Ed, and so great to be back with you. You know, we actually have to go back a little further because remember that Henry and Charles Lum, no relation to the Lums who had the restaurant and bar chain here.
Great onion rings.
Oh, wonderful. But they sailed up from Key West in 1870. They passed the Key Biscayne Lighthouse. It was getting to be twilight. They see this mangrove sandbar island. They come ashore. They love it. They go back to Key West and then back to New Jersey, where, interestingly enough, most of Miami Beach's founders were from. And they go back to New Jersey. They are the first people known to have gotten sand in their shoes. And they cannot get this place out of their minds, like so many millions thereafter. And they arrange to buy it. Who owns it? The state of Florida, Internal Improvement Fund. And they're able to buy it for 35 cents an acre. They hold it for 12 years. In 1882, they sold it to L. Nathan Field and Ezra Osborne for 75 cents an acre. Field and Osborne try to put in a coconut plantation that fails. And when that fails, they go back to New Jersey, and they're casting about a buyer. they're casting about for a buyer. And they, sure enough, in a little town called Merchantville, run into an elderly Quaker and his son-in-law, and the elderly man he just is fantastically interested. Well, I want to see this place. And they come down. Remember, they couldn't come by train all the way. They could only go as far as West Palm. Mm-hmm. Come down by boat. The old man falls in love with it. And the son-in-law says, Pop, what are you doing? We're going to put in a papaya, mango, and avocado plantation and plant potatoes. And they do. And it's a great success. The problem is that to get the material over to the mainland side, because now the railroad has come down, they have to use the boats.
About 1896 or so.
Yeah, 1896. And they have to use the boats of the Biscayne Navigation Company. Biscayne Navigation Company is owned by Avery Smith and his partner, James L. War, who also owned the Smith's Casino at the very tip of South Beach. And so Smith's Casino was not a gambling casino. It was a bathing casino. And what did you do? You went in, you rented a locker, you rented a wool bathing suit, and maybe if there was a little snack bar, you could have a little snack. And so that was it. That's where it all started. And that fellow's name was John S. Collins, the Quaker, his son-in-law, Thomas Pancoast. And eventually they decided to build a bridge between the mainland and the ocean beach. The bridge went bankrupt about one-third or one-half of the
Collins
way
ran out of money.
They ran out of money. Mm-hmm. And so they started to cast about, and they eventually were introduced to a fellow by the name of Carl Graham Fisher.
Who gets most of the credit.
And, well, you know, to a large extent, yeah. rightfully so. But let's not leave out the Lummis brothers.
Sure.
J.N. and J.E. Lummis. J.N. was Miami Beach's first mayor. His son was Miami Beach's fourth mayor. His brother was Miami Beach's third mayor, I think. And fabulous family. And I have had the great good fortune of being introduced to a fellow by the name of Walter Metz. And who is Walter Metz? He is the only living grandson of J.N. Lummis. Mm. So I want our listeners to be sure that from this day forward, they never call Loomis Park again. We only want to hear Lummis because that is the family's name. But the most important part of this, Ed, is to understand that the Lummis brothers did a magnificent thing. They did sell the 4,000 running feet from 6th Street to 14th Terrace. They did sell it to the city. It wasn't a donation, but it may have as well have been, because in 1917, they sold it for $40,000 payable over 20 years. That was the greatest single purchase of a piece of land that any city in America has ever made.
Mm-hmm. And let's not forget the Louisiana Purchase, but that's a different era. But Fisher comes in, helps out Collins complete the longest wooden bridge in what perhaps the world at that time. So people are coming back and forth, and Miami Beach, I presume, just exploded. People are coming over to enjoy lunch and the beach and enjoy the casinos, swimming in saltwater pools and whatnot. And then the Weisses come on the scene. Tell us about Joe's.
This is very important, because what you have to understand, and I have a lot of laughs of this with our dear Joanne Sawitz Bass and her son Steve Sawitz. Mm-hmm. And of course, Joanne is the grandson of Joe Weiss. Steve is the great grandson. And you have to understand that a fellow by the name of Joe Weiss and his wife Jenny, with their 6-year-old son Jesse, came over on the ferry boat from the mainland late 1912, early 1913. He had asthma. That's why he left New York. He was a great cook. She was a wonderful waitress, wonderful personality. And if you've ever known anybody with asthma, you know what it's like when you have asthma trying to breathe. And in those days, they didn't have the spritzers that they could clear their passages with. Mm-hmm. So what you want to understand is that he came over, my God, he could breathe. And he went to work at Smith's Casino for 5 years. And I have hypothesized this because I don't have the documented proof, but it's so logical. After 5 years, he went to Avery Smith. And again, I have hypothesized this. Mm-hmm. And he said, look, Mr. Smith or Avery, whatever you call him, I'd like to buy something and make a deal. Smith said no. He takes Jenny by the hand. He says, let's go. He walks west on Biscayne Street. He stops in front of this little house, and he says, Jenny, this is it. This is it. She says, what's it? What are you talking about? And that's when they bought the building that eventually, which they named Joe's immediately, and many years later, Stone Crab was added to it.
One of the greatest restaurants in the country,
absolutely.
Certainly, and we still continue to enjoy it.
And we love the family. I mean, there's no question.
It is magnificent. We're going to wrap up our first segment, but first I want to let you know that more information about the wonderful Centennial of Miami Beach available at miamibeach100.com. You can also find out more info at miamibeachfl.gov or miamiandthebeaches.com for tourism information. And of course, their 100-hour extravaganza starts Sunday, March 22nd, with free exercising at 8th Street and Ocean Drive. Miami Beach 100 Years, 100 Photos by Johnny Arias from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Sunday through Thursday. That's free and open to the public. A wonderful exhibition, photography exhibition at the Miami Design Preservation League, 1001 Ocean Drive. So many more events in the 100-hour extravaganza on Miami Beach starting Sunday. They also have events at the Miami Beach Golf Club. They have a fashion show. They've got 100 weddings taking place Monday, March 23rd at 8th and Ocean, Miami Beach. That's free and open to the public. Beach wedding ceremony and renewal of vows for 100 couples, including same-sex couples. There'll be a toast and refreshments following the ceremony. The Jackie Gleason Show Marathon is free and open to the public at the Fillmore Miami Beach at the Jackie Gleason Theater on Monday from 5 to 8 p.m. Many more that we'll go through throughout the next two segments here on South Florida Arts Beat with our guest Seth Bramson, and we'll join Mr. Charlie Cinnamon, legendary publicist, in just a moment. Please stay with us here on South Florida Arts Beat.
I think it's about time to hear some of that wonderful shearing sound.
We play an original composition, especially for our appearance here in Miami, called Mambo in Miami.
And we have 21 minutes past the hour here on South Florida Arts Beat. Ed Bell with you. And our guest, Seth Bramson, is joined by Charlie Cinnamon, legendary publicist. Charlie, we welcome you to the show. Charlie Cinnamon, a native of New York, who for the past 50 years has resided in Miami, strongly identified with legitimate theater. Mr. Cinnamon launched his career as public relations director for Miami's Coconut Grove Playhouse, moving directly into a 26-year professional relationship with Broadway producer Zev Buffman, where as national press representative, he represented a national theater theatrical circuit, which, in addition to Buffman's Broadway ventures, counted 9 theaters across the country. Charlie's bio is so long that Charlie, I've got to sing your praises, because you then came to South Florida in the 50s, of course, and launched launched your personal involvement with the— he's going to fight me on this, Seth— launched your personal involvement with the arts communities in South Florida, and you were famed to be a founder originally of the Coconut Grove Arts Festival, and soon after the Miami Beach Festival of the Arts. You represented Judy Drucker's Concert Association of Florida, Miami City Ballet, and on and on. You helped to bring the Miami Heat to Miami. You brought Elizabeth Taylor to South Florida for the Community Alliance Against AIDS program and raised millions of dollars for AIDS research. Recipient of so many awards, the Carbonell Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Arts, and among others, you've been honored by the City of Miami Beach Fine Arts Board as Man of the Year, and was the first to have his footprints placed in the Jackie Gleason Theater's Walk of Stars. That must have been fun. Among your many activist activities, Mr. Cinnamon was for 8 years a member of the Board of Directors of WLRN, Friends of WLRN, and thank you for your wonderful service to help us along. And you were You received a proclamation from the Board of County Commissioners of Broward County as a role model during a tribute to Arts and Culture Day. On and on and on. Achievement Award by the Coconut Grove Playhouse during its 50th anniversary gala, among other high-profile clients.
Cool it, Ed. Cool it. Stop now. I mean, running out of time.
He gets embarrassed easily, but Charlie, you are definitely a legendary, legendary publicist and arts advocate here in South Florida who continues your wonderful job working with so many, the Arsht Center, among others, and the Cleveland Orchestra, Broadway Across America. And thank you for your magnificent support. But take us back to the late 50s, Charlie, when you arrived. Miami Beach was on an upswing, hotels, music in every single hotel going on. Right. And give us a sense of what you encountered upon your arrival.
Well, pardon me, most people don't know that I actually gave mambo lessons.
Wow.
While I was out of work. But anyway,
Peggy Lee?
The days when I came into town were really the glamour days of Miami Beach, which I don't think they'll ever see again. Mm. I'm going to be honestly candid because I really, really yearn for those old days in so many ways that you can't see Miami Beach today, which is completely different from the late 50s and through the years that followed and brought us to where we are today, which is a very successful and happy, exciting city, no doubt about it, but it's also very overbuilt. And, you know, I'm going to get a little political occasionally here. I hope nobody will be mad at me. But anyway, what I came into was a world of genuine beauty and glamour and what we used to call tropical paradise, because it really was. It was sea, and wherever you went, you saw water, you crossed the causeway, it was just magnificent to be part of this scene down here. And along with that, you had all those fantastic hotels that were so beautiful, and the people that came were beautiful. Of course, the people that came were basically during the season, the February, March, April. Most of them came down for Hialeah. And Seth, you chime in anytime you feel you got to correct me or say things. But anyway, that was, you know, Hialeah was the high point of the season, as we called them then. But the hotels were really spectacular in those days.
And you did what I would call a little tip sheet for the hotels telling different events. What would you call it?
Well, I called it a Yenta sheet. I worked at my first real important hotel job was at the Empress Hotel, which has been replaced by several others since that time. But those were the days when people just laid out in the sun and baked away and came out in the evening to do the cha-cha. And that's really where the cha-cha and all the Cuban music that everybody's taking for granted today, the really great Cuban music, were during those years.
Do I remember, correct me, gentlemen, Desi Arnaz was discovered on Miami Beach?
Desi Arnaz was indeed. He wrote a book about it, as a matter of fact.
Let me throw something in here. Desi Arnaz lived at the Seagull on Miami Beach, but he had a hotbed situation. And what that means is not hotbed with a woman. The great Mario Talucci. Mario was the great and famous maitre d' at the Embers and the pub.
Yeah.
And they had a deal because, listen, money was tight. So Mario slept during the day and Desi slept at night, and they shared the one bed in the room. That's a true story, and I get that right from Mario.
Well, that's very, very
but
true.
But Espanola Way, I heard he was discovered there playing congas, and the rest is history. But tell us, what would you write in those Yenta sheets?
My job at that time, I was just becoming a publicist. And by virtue of being discovered, so to speak, by Helga Eason, a wonderful woman who was the first person I met when I came to Miami Beach. She was a librarian. And not knowing anybody here, I went and said, well, can you introduce me? And I met someone, a publicist by the name of Helen Alpert, who was at that time the publicist of the Empress Hotel. Mm-hmm. And she says, well, come work for me, you know. And I did. And she decided that she didn't want to do it anymore, and I stayed on, and that's what started my career.
Wow. Really. Was Hank Meyer around at that time?
Hank Meyer was also coming up at that time.
Another great publicist.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Of course, he was the publicist for Jackie Gleason. Mm-hmm. But my career really took off because I was handling a lot of clubs, nightclubs and hotels and so on until I was called to the Coconut Grove Playhouse, actually before Zeb Bopin. And started there and was there opening night. You mentioned the Seagull Hotel.
Right.
Well, then you'll both remember Sleepy Time Gal, who had a show that
Absolutely.
Began at midnight at that time. And she and I became very friends after I got through with my day of running around. You know, I'd go up to Seagull and we became buddies. And she invited me to be her guest to see Waiting for Godot, which was the first play at the Coconut Grove Playhouse. And that's when half of the house, I could say three quarters of the house left. Everybody was in diamonds and jewels and so on. But of course, they didn't get it. It was the first theater of the absurd play that came out, and it starred Bert Lahr and Tom Ewell. And along the way, if she wanted to leave, I said, no, let's stay. And as a result of which, I found and discovered the real theater that was going on at the time and wrote about it in this Yenta sheet you mentioned. And the Yenta sheet, what I called was, because everybody was out there baking, as I mentioned earlier. And I would go around with pencil and pad and just talk and get all these little items from them. And every day I'd put out this yellow sheet with all these remarks, and it's a gossip. It was a gossip column.
I'm going to go to Seth's archive and see if we can find a few of those. I bet, I guarantee you've got some in your Miami memorabilia archive.
Ed, let me say this. Charlie Cinnamon is...
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, Charlie Cinnamon is one of the most humble men I have ever known.
Oh, that's
and let
kind.
Me put this in proper perspective for our listeners. I will rank him with the other two greatest PR people in the history of Miami Beach, the great Steve Hannigan, which is where we got Cheesecake. I don't mean the cake. I mean the pretty girls. And, of course, the great
that
Hank.
That caught my eye in elementary school.
Absolutely. And the great Hank Meyer, and the third of them is Charlie Cinnamon.
That's
and if you're hearing
kind.
It from me, as people have said, Seth, if we hear it from you, it's the Emmys.
Well, that's a great compliment, for which I really thank you.
Now, we also want to mention on Tuesday, March 24th, as part of the 100-hour extravaganza taking place starting on Sunday on Miami Beach, Miami Beach Centennial Tennis Celebration at 8th and Ocean. Once again, the Jackie Gleason Show Marathon from 5 to 8 p.m. each day through the 26th. It's free and open to the public at the Fillmore Miami Beach at the Jackie Gleason Theater. There'll be a naturalization service of 100 new U.S. citizens, 10 a.m., free and open to the public, Wednesday, March 25th at 8th Street and Ocean Drive. Food Truck and Music Festival on Wednesday. And, of course, Thursday, the Beach Oasis Party opens up at noon at 9th and Ocean Drive. That's free and open to the public. A huge beach party with a stage and featuring many DJs and local performers. And then Thursday night, the Hard Rock Rising Miami Beach Global Music Festival starts at 5 o'clock with, get this, Andrea Bocelli, Gloria Estefan, Barry Gibb, Flo Rida, Wyclef Jean, John Cicada, Diego Torres, DJ Irie, Dave Mason from Traffic, and also Earthman Lanny Smith opening up the show. That's 5 o'clock on Thursday at the Hard Rock Rising Miami Beach Global Music Festival. That's about 8th and 9th and Ocean Drive. More information at MiamiBeach100.com. We'll be back with these two wonderful gentlemen, with Seth Bramson and Charlie Cinnamon on South Florida Arts Beat in just a moment.
Feel a drip on the strip. It's it's a trip. Ladies half dressed, full of your quip, and they be screaming out, so I'm thinking I'ma scoop me something hot in this South Summer rain game mountain pot.
And we have 34 minutes past the hour. Ed Bell with you on South Florida Arts Beat, and I'm so honored to be with these wonderful legends of South Florida history and publicity, Seth Bramson and Charlie Cinnamon. And we also want to send out a big thank you to Nanette Rodriguez, director of the Miami Beach Office of Communications, for keeping us in touch with Miami Beach 100. And the centennial will be celebrated starting on Sunday the 22nd all the way through the big show Thursday on the beach. That is the Hard Rock Rising Miami Beach Global Music Festival. It opens up at noon, and the big show starts at 5 o'clock with just about all the great names living down here in South Florida. Barry Gibb and on and on and on. Gloria Estefan. Charlie, we wanted to get back with you. You were mentioning some of the great people that you loved working with, and Judy Drucker was the classical impresaria for decades, bringing great people to South Florida.
That's absolutely true, and we really should acknowledge Judy Drucker, because she was the impetus to bringing really great music down here, and it was a parade, and she had a 45-year career, and I actually was with her right from the beginning.
Wow.
And watched the parade. And one of the things that you're talking about, a big centennial here, I don't think anything, I'm sure this is going to be fantastic, but nothing could match what Judy did with Pavarotti on the beach.
On the beach.
Which I think to this day is one of the great events of the country that ever happened, because she and Pavarotti were very close friends. And she said, let's do a concert on the beach, which is what we did right on Ocean Drive. I remember it took me 4 months to get it together. Mm. But it was fantastic because we didn't have the modern technology people have today. So you had to get all the elements together. But today, there are great, this is a great city of art. It's a great city for theater. The Miami Beach Performing Arts Center, which I was involved in from 1976 when it first opened. Theater of Performing Arts, I'm sure, Seth, you remember that.
Yes.
Lucy Arnaz and Desi Arnaz. Lucy was starring in the show called Mac and Mabel. And Lucy and Desi was the first time they both came down to see Lucy since they had divorced. So that was quite an exciting night, the opening there. But the people like that and Zeb Buffman, all those people that did that, came up to the plate and delivered part of the great magic that was really Miami Beach. And today it continues with the Arts Center doing great work, classical and others. We have great, fantastic caterers. I have to say that I'm very thrilled with one of my latest clients who happens to be Joy Wallace, and she's going to be involved in the centennial too. So
I
think it all fits, and that we're moving forward in the most wonderful ways, but we should never forget the past, because it was a great time, and I think everybody should respect it.
Now, Charlie, I've read so many of Seth's books. He has educated me about all the wonderful little suburbs of South Florida, and we continue to read Seth's books. I want to read your book.
No.
Please.
I don't
Please.
Think so.
Seth, work on it.
Well, I'm going to work on him, but I hate to say it this way. I have to trump Charlie, because Judy and her dear late husband, Dave Drucker, and my parents had a cabana at the Allison Hotel circa 1953. And Judy's nephew, Jonathan Nelson, who is a longtime teacher at Miami Beach High, who the kids love, has a garden there named for him. Mm. And Jonathan is one of my disciples in the railroad buff field. Mm-hmm. And we see Jonathan and his dear wife, Andrea, regularly. And Jude, you cannot in any way, shape, or form do anything but talk about what Judy Drucker did for us. And the only word that can be expressed towards her and for what she did is love. There's no other word.
No. She was a fantastic lady, but there were very many, many others that contributed to the arts world down here.
Absolutely.
And the Festival of the Arts with Sheila Hollow and people like Larry Sampson, when we started that, the Miami Beach Festival of the Arts.
What year was that? Was that in the 70s?
That was in the 70s too. And what we did on Les Feldman, people like Les Feldman, and we did the concert in front of the Miami Beach Young Summer 70. Right.
But I don't want to forget Carol and Doc Unger.
I mean, you can keep... There's really a parade. A parade of great... Yeah, of course. Right. These are the greatest names in the years that I worked on the beach and in Miami. They're fantastic.
In our final few moments together with these wonderful, wonderful guys, Seth Bramson and Charlie Cinnamon, tell me some of your favorite publications. Now, you being an author and an educator, Seth, you've got a ton available, and I'll start it out. Sunshine, Stone Crabs, and Cheesecake, The Story of Miami Beach is a great place to start. That was published by Seth Bramson a number of years ago.
No.
Charlie?
No, written by Seth, but not published.
written by Seth Bramson. Charlie? Would you recommend a book that you about South Florida
yes,
that you
it.
Like?
The minute you said that, I was thinking Alex Dowd. I mean, he came upon not a good time, but I have to tell you, he really turned out a hell of a book. And if anybody really wants to really read about what Miami Beach politics is like, get Alex Dowd's book. I haven't seen Alex in years. But I will tell you, I read that book, and it's a stunning piece of writing.
Mm-mm-mm. Seth, other than your voluminous writing and publications, your favorite book about South Florida?
Well, I think that there's so many, Ed, but I'm not tooting my own horn. It's just that, as you know, I wrote L'Chaim, The History of the Jewish Community of Greater Miami. Mm-hmm. And I think that's an important book in terms of the Jewish community. Several people have said to me, Seth, what about a book on the black community? I say, wait a minute. The great Dr. Marvin Dunn, who just retired from FIU.
Oh, yeah.
Marvin wrote The History of Black Miami. Look, I've got the largest private collection of black Miami memorabilia, and you'll forgive the term, white hands. Mm-hmm. I'm acknowledged warmly in Marvin's book, but that is the book for what happened with blacks.
Dr. Marvin Dunn.
But remember that I give the only talk in South Florida on the history of discrimination in Greater Miami.
Sure do.
And I bring the stuff to show. It's a show and tell.
Now, you've got a talk coming up you want to mention?
Yes, March 24th, and I don't know that it's open to the public, but it is at the Cocoa Plum Women's Club, and it is for the Florida Federation of Women's Clubs, and I will be talking on the history of Greater Miami.
Okay. And future publications, sir?
Yes, sir. Working on History of Greater Miami during World War II, Training the Troops in Sun and Sand, The History of Miami Beach High, The History of the Flagler System Hotels. As I like to say, it's going to be called Jewels in the Sunshine, but that is not the story of Florida's nudist camps. It is the story of the Flagler System Hotels. And then, of course, Sunshine State Trolleys, the Street and Electric Railways of Florida.
Charlie, you're still working on Broadway Across America up at Broward and any
Broward,
other accounts?
Yeah, the Arsht and Broward. And, exciting shows coming up. We're still playing Wicked down here at the Arsht Center.
At the Arsht, yeah.
We have Pippin coming up at Broward and Sister Act and then Anything Goes. And I'm also representing the Cleveland Orchestra and the Arsht series, which is winding up their series. And these are extraordinary, wonderful clients to have in the arts world and several other things that keep going.
Well, you two are extraordinary, wonderful gentlemen, and thank you so much for joining us today on South Florida Arts Beat. Once again, Seth Bramson, South Florida historian and educator and so much more. His 24th book will be about Surfside, published by Arcadia Books, out August 24th, and you can get in touch with him at S. Bramson, B-R-A-M-S-O-N, at bellsouth.net. Charlie Cinnamon, legendary publicist, please write that book. Thanks once again to the wonderful Nanette Rodriguez, director of the Miami Beach Office of Communications. And congratulations, Miami Beach, a big 100th with the 100 extravagant events starting on Sunday and the big Hard Rock Rising Miami Beach Global Music Festival. That is Thursday starting at noon, and the festival itself starts at 5 o'clock with so many great people. Thank you, gentlemen, for educating us over the years and delighting us and making life so wonderful here in South Florida.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to Miami.
Welcome to Miami.
Party in the city where the heat is on.
Welcome back to South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Ed Bell with you. And now, Chef Norman Van Aken gives us a word on food.
I don't want French fried potatoes, red ripe tomatoes. I'm never satisfied. I want the frim-fram sauce with the os and fade, with shafafa on the side. Shoot, do, de, do, ya, do, do.
Hi, I'm Norman Van Aken, and welcome to A Word on Food. Today's word on food is broths. The world of cookery has its roots. So many times we look up above the place where a bush or a tree stands, seen and obviously morphing, but without the nurturing world below that provides succor to that organism we enjoy, this would not occur. I save the bones from whole chickens I butcher myself until I have a good enough batch to make a stock from. For a stock, I often have to buy more chicken parts, which I don't mind at all, but for a broth, I can also use the roasted carcasses of birds that we consumed and carved before freezing the structure that once held the flesh. It sounds barbaric, and I smile. I have not lost that I am partially primitive still, but I can justify it if my end result is the soft, nurturing, life-enhancing goodness of broths. Go slow, enjoy the process, and be adaptive. The fairly fast rules of making a stock are loosened when making a broth. I am usually making a smaller quantity of broth than I am when I'm making a full batch of stock, so I don't think of it as being better to keep a kind of neutrality that I might with the bigger yields. I might only be getting one or two meals out of that broth, so if I want to go with odds and ends out of my fridge, I sure as hell can. I don't usually use ginger and scallions in my standard chicken stock, but this is a broth, and this is today, and this is the mood I have woken up in. I want to let the ingredients I have on hand guide me, not a recipe like scripture. Once I've finished glazing some of my chosen vegetables in a mix of olive oil and sweet butter, and getting my carcasses roasted and then joined with the bird frames of those from the Sunday dinner's cooked birds all in the pot, I add the water, and then a slow dance begins, really slow at first, to the point where you think it's not even moving. I put my face down by that broth and watch it, like one would an aquarium. Its fragrance holds me even if the action is not quite vital for a while. And then a bubble comes up from the mosaic of bones, vegetables, skin, herbs, spices, and nearly clear water. It floats up from near the bottom like a long-forgotten memory, coming from an untroubled day in childhood. It breaks open on the surface and spreads a sweet nectar into the morning air. This broth creation is a pond of proteins conjoined with an amalgam of garden, and I am the fisherman and forager. A papery garlic husk bobs to the surface and bumps into the protuberance of a caramelized chicken wing. The celery announces itself through aromas quite different from those of the onion. Most compelling, perhaps, are the globules of golden fat that form in various circumferences on the topmost layers of my temperature-rising pot of broth. A puff of steam suddenly animates the world above the liquid. There is now an exchange above the waterline, a signal that through heat, the animation of interchange and exchange is going to render flavors more complex than those sampled from a soup spoon 10 minutes earlier. What was essentially water is evolving, and it is magical, glorious, beautiful broth. I'm Norman Van Aken, and that's my word on food.
Norman Van Aken is the author of the memoir, No Experience Necessary, The Culinary Odyssey of Norman Van Aken. Please tune in tomorrow morning at 8:34 on Weekend Edition to hear Yapin Gachos. And here's our South Florida Arts Beat entertainment calendar. And today we welcome back Deborah Margold, Deputy Director of the Miami-Dade County Department of Cultural Affairs. Great to have you back with us, Deborah.
Thank you so much, Ed. And there's lots and lots to talk about, so I'm going to launch right in with your permission.
Please.
So just opened this week at Actors Playhouse at the Miracle Theater, that's in Coral Gables, and running through April 12th is a fabulously wonderful new play called First Date. It's a delightful and hysterical new musical about the chances we take to find love, and that, again, is at the Actors Playhouse at the Miracle Theater, running through April 12th. Also, tonight, the Florida Grand Opera is presenting its program Opera Viva, Viva Opera at the Mylander Center for Arts and Entertainment in Hialeah. That's at 4800 Palm Avenue. It's a semi-staged concert that consists of scenes from beloved operas and Spanish language favorites as well. So again, that's a wonderful program at the Mylander Center for the Arts and Entertainment in Hialeah. Also tonight, our very own phenomenally wonderful New World Symphony is presenting a powerhouse program. The former New World Symphony conducting fellow and just recently appointed music director of the Louisville Orchestra, Teddy Abrams, is making his very much anticipated return to the New World Symphony, and the program they're performing is Tchaikovsky's Fifth Symphony and Barber's soaring and soulful second essay, and that's tonight at the New World Center on Miami Beach. Also tonight, the legendary entertainer Michael Feinstein with two-time Tony winner Christine Ebersole and the Frost School of Music's Henry Mancini Institute Orchestra perform Jazz Meets Broadway. They'll be performing standards from the Great American Songbook written by some of the best and most beloved composers of the 20th century, including Irving Berlin, George and Ira Gershwin, Richard Rodgers, Jerome Kern, Cole Porter, Leonard Bernstein, and Stephen Sondheim. And that's tonight at the Adrian Arsch Center for the Performing Arts, Jazz Meets Broadway. Still tonight, other parts of town, there's a phenomenal free concert over at Tropical Park as part of Noches Tropicales. It's an all-star concert, and again, it's free. Admission and parking are both free. And the lineup includes Kiki Sanchez, Edwin Bonilla, Andy Harlow, Daniel Baroa, and singers Lucy Grau, Elaine Hernandez, Willie Panama, and many, many more.
Wow.
And that's tonight. It's a great lineup, and that should be lots of fun. Phenomenal time to get out and enjoy some free music over at Tropical Park. Back over on the east side in Little Haiti, it's Big Night in Little Haiti, and this edition this month is a fabulous special double bill, including an amazing young singer, Ruchelle Guillaume, and the roots-fueled rhythms of Mario Chandel and his group. And that's tonight as part of Big Night in Little Haiti over at the Little Haiti Cultural Center. Also tonight, down in the south end of town, I'm taking you all over town tonight, down in the south end, we have an evening with Nicole Henry. That's at the South Miami-Dade Cultural Arts Center. The sultry jazz, magnificent, local, brilliant artist Nicole Henry is going to perform classic and contemporary jazz, as well as contemporary standards, blues, and some of her own original work. And that's tonight at the South Miami-Dade Cultural Arts Center in Cutler Bay. Tomorrow night at the South Miami-Dade Cultural Arts Center, Miami-Dade College Live Art Series is presenting Bass Track Live, which is a spellbinding performance that weaves together photos and video, live music, and text based on the real experiences of Marines who fought in Afghanistan. It's an absolutely magnificent performance, and that's tomorrow night at the South Miami-Dade Cultural Arts Center. Back up northeast, we have tomorrow night also, the Dance Now Miami Ensemble is performing a work titled Deco Dance. It's a new work inspired by the Art Deco architecture of Miami Beach, created by Dance Now artistic directors Hannah Baumgarten and Diego Saltarini. And that's being performed at the North Beach Band Shell at 7300 Collins Avenue on Miami Beach. Bouncing forward a little bit to next Friday, we have Beatlemania featuring trumpeter John DeVersa and the University of Miami Frost Concert Jazz Band. That's also back down at the South Miami-Dade Cultural Arts Center at 8:30 p.m. on Friday, March 27th.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And believe it or not, the Cleveland Orchestra season is coming to a close. Their final performances next Thursday through Saturday at the Adrian Arsch Center for the Performing Arts features Ors Carmina Burana and the Chichester Psalms. And that, again, is the closing of the Cleveland Orchestra season for this year. Great performances at the Arsch Center. Also, next Saturday, March 28th at 8 p.m. at the South Miami-Dade Cultural Arts Center, critically acclaimed pianist and Dranoff competition winner Martin Van Veen and world-renowned pianist Ralph Van Vliet join Colin Curry and master timpanist Benjamin Ramirez in a brilliant American composers. And this is an exciting, new, wonderful, new experimental ensemble, the New Deco Ensemble. And we're thrilled to have them join us in town, creating great culture for everyone.
Good luck to them. Deborah, where do we find out more information about these and other events?
Please check out our website, which is miamidadearts.org. That's all one word, miamidadearts.org.
We thank the marvelous, informative Deborah Margold, Deputy Director of the Miami-Dade County Department of Cultural Affairs. Great weekend to you, Debbie.
Thanks so much.
And I've got to tell you once again, the Hollywood Arts Park explodes tomorrow, the 21st at 7 p.m. with the Wood Brothers, Chris Wood of Modesky Martin and Wood, playing with his family. And also on the bill, Rachel Goodrich. That's Saturday, March 21st at Hollywood Arts Park, Young Circle in Hollywood at 7 p.m. It's free. Go to visithollywoodfl.org for more information. Don't forget about the big to-do next Thursday, Hard Rock Rising Miami Beach Global Music Festival. Gates open up at noon with local acts, and then at 5 o'clock, the big names hit the stage. And that's today's edition of South Florida Arts Beat. We hope you enjoyed the show. I'm Ed Bell, producer and host. Our theme was composed by Mike Levine and performed by Mike and Sam Levine. Paul Leary is our online producer. Andy Wagner, our technical director. We'd like to thank our contributors today, Norman Van Aken and Deborah Margol. Please call us with your comments, 305-995-2258. You can fax us your event information to 305-995-2221 or email it to us at info@WLRN.org. We'd like to hear from you. Monday at this time, of course, Topical Currents with hosts Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman, Monday at 1 o'clock. Have yourself a great weekend, and please, as always, keep your dial set right here to 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and 91.5 WKWM NPR for the Florida Keys. Until next time, this is Ed Bell saying bye-bye. Enjoy.